Overheard at Yoga is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications expert and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. Well, I think we're ready to get started. Welcome to my little podcast. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for asking.
Good. And we were just talking about the stairs to get up here.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm a no cardio junkie.
Same.
Nap junkie, perhaps?
A Shavasana junkie. Yes. So tell everyone, how have we met? Because we've only met a couple times.
Yeah, I think we first met when the yoga week, right?
Yoga and awareness. Yoga Health and Awareness Week, yes. That Naomi Jones puts on. Yes.
Yes, and she asked us to co-teach with Marcy.
Yeah, that was so fun. And we met at Hollywood Yoga in that little back room to kind of talk about our game plan.
That's right.
And what I remember from that event is first it was Marcy, then me, and then you came on last. And as soon as you came on stage, suddenly like the wind picked up.
The
branches were shaking and branches started falling. Mm-hmm. And I was like, who is this mystical woman who has control of weather? I thought that was really magical. And then I also met you at your full moon manifesting circle. Was that at your house or your sister's house?
It was at my sister's house in her backyard.
Cool.
Yeah.
And you and your sister own Zen Riot, is that right?
Yeah, my sister and I opened it, but right now she actually had a baby.
Oh, cool.
Well, she had a baby 3 years ago, but it feels like yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And she stepped away from the studio, and now she's doing her own line of like bath and body products.
Rad.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. So tell everyone your name. I don't think we introduced you.
Do I have a name? I don't know.
I don't know. Do you?
I'm Jen Crawford.
Thank you for coming on my little podcast.
Thanks for inviting me. I always want to come down and take a class from you, but I'm like,
I know how it is.
It's 10 minutes away and it's so far.
Especially when you're at your studio working and then the studio is 5 feet away from your desk.
Totally.
I know that feeling. I finally took a class at 28th Street Bar in Seoul this week.
Oh, yeah.
But they opened up like 4 or 5 years ago, and they're just a few streets away from Hollywood, and I finally took a class there. It was amazing. I did Jana Weiss's melt class.
Oh, Have you heard of it?
I did melt.
Were you a puddle on the floor? That's what I'm always afraid of.
It was really cool, and it's not hot, so it's just warm and comfy, and we had a foam roller, like a big one, and so she had us do a foam rolling class, but she does it in such a specific way that it's meant to help align you. So before we even get started, she has you lie on your back, and then she calls it mapping, but it's a body assessment from head to toe to see how your body feels pressed against your mat, so she can check your alignment. Oh, and then she creates the foam rolling class.
Yeah.
And then at the end, we do mapping or assessment again. It was really cool.
So you lay down most of the class?
Yeah, I loved it.
That's my kind of
class. It was like getting a little massage the whole class. I was like, this is really nice. I'm glad I finally left my studio to go to another studio.
I know. And it's funny because I used to live in LA and I'd commute like an hour and a half to work every day. And now it's like you live here and 10 minutes feels like hours to go.
Well,
10 miles feels like millions away.
I feel like we got so used to light traffic, and even though there's like a teeny tiny bit more traffic, it's like, no, thanks.
Mm-mm.
When did you move here from LA?
I moved from Huntington Beach, but I commuted to LA. So, I moved here in 2012.
Okay. Did you grow up in
I grew Huntington? Up in Northern California.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What brought you here?
Oh, my I don't know. Actually, I had to look it up on the map when I moved here. I was like, where am I? My mom moved here. So my family moved up here. And I was just flailing in Huntington Beach. I had a job, I had a real corporate-y job.
What kind of job?
I was a bag designer, so I designed accessories, bags, mostly backpacks, but wallets, hats, all this.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it was like 80 hours a week and the hour and a half commute each way.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, I need to get out of this. It's driving me insane.
Yeah.
So I tried to quit my job and move up here. And they were like, no, you can work from home.
Okay, so you're doing it before it became
necessary. Yeah. Yeah, so I moved up here in 2012 and worked from home, started teaching yoga.
Were you upset that they told you you could work from home after all those years of driving an hour and a half to work?
Right? Like, I should have been.
Like, what? Now you're telling me that I've moved to another state to get away from you?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I should have been upset. I didn't really think about, because working from home wasn't really a thing then. Right? Mm. Nobody did it.
Okay.
I mean, I guess people did, but I didn't know about it. I think I'd be in like your cubicle with all the other people at work, but.
Interesting.
I know. It's how so interesting the culture has changed. An office culture.
I lived with one of my good friends in Seattle, and she would commute to, we live like in East Lake, Seattle, and she would commute to Redford. I can't remember the name of it, but traffic was so bad. She'd be sitting on the freeway for just like an hour. And I remember a couple of times she'd get home early. I'm like, oh, you're home early. And she'd be sobbing her eyes out. And she'd say, I used the carpool lane and sped the whole way home because I'm miserable and I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And she told them if they didn't let her work from home, then she was going to quit and move back home to Idaho.
Yeah.
And so they're like, okay, you can work from home. And I thought that was so cool that she just told them, I have to work from home. I'm not working for you. I'm not doing that anymore.
Boundaries.
I was like so impressed. She taught me so much about boundaries and communication. Yeah. She was one of my favorite people, and I started doing yoga in Seattle with her. How did you start doing yoga?
Same reason. I was super stressed at work, and I think I started going to hot yoga, actually, because I was like, even though it's warm down there, it was just, you know.
Yeah.
You need the workout at that point because you didn't know about all the other stuff.
Yeah, and it's
so
trendy.
Go to yoga.
Like, yeah. Okay.
So I started classes, I think it was about 2010, like really going hardcore. Mm-hmm. I lived in New York before that, and I would go just every once in a while because it was cold in the winter, so we'd go to hot yoga just to warm up. But I started going consistently in 2010. And then in 2012, I decided to go to yoga teacher training, so I was teacher training and commuting the hour and a half back and forth to work.
Where were you doing teacher training?
I actually did teacher training at Core Power. So it was very
corporate.
Really? Yeah. And so
you know the game.
I know the game. I know the hot yoga game. Yeah. And so it's funny. I call it froyo, not like cold yoga, because it's like, it's so different.
Mm-hmm.
But also that's my roots is hot yoga. And I love it. I just never go anymore.
Why do you think that is?
That I don't go anymore?
Uh-huh.
Well, because it's too far away from my house.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And also I think I just have this, last year I did Kundalini teacher training cause I was bored.
With who? Did you do it with Mary?
I did it with Mary Baker.
Mary Baker.
Yeah.
I did one little like online workshop with her and I was just blown away at her wisdom and how much she knows. She's so cool.
She's super cool. She's feisty. I love her.
Yeah.
She'll tell it like it is too, which is,
I respect that.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
So I did the Kundalini teacher training because I was like, I need to do something. But I realized like the regimented, right? The class that's like, you teach in this way and you teach this set. And it's just so hard for me because my memory doesn't do that.
Oh.
So I think like doing the same thing repetitively, it kind of like, it makes my brain weird. So like, I like going to hot yoga intermittently when I kind of forget what it's all about, and then like, oh yes, my body remembers this, and like, my mind is okay here. But I think just like the repetitive motion of it, in some of the classes mm-hmm. that are taught the same mm-hmm. over and over kind of freaks me out a little bit.
I totally get it.
Yeah.
I'll pop in and out. And it's funny because teaching it is totally different than doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, teaching the same thing is so meditative. And I'm like, yeah, oh, this feels awesome. And then teaching it or practicing it, I'd probably do it like once a week just to like stay in the game. And then I'm always just rolling around on my mat doing whatever I want.
Yeah. Yeah. I find that, I find it interesting that so many people, a lot of those really amazing type A that are just like, go, go, go.
Oh, yeah.
They
find
it, those meditative, right? Because you know what's mm-hmm. coming next and you can just kind of like turn off your mind and move your body.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not one of those people. I'm like, I want to do this and then I want to do that.
You taught me, what did you teach me? You taught me about shaking.
Oh, I love shaking.
And I was like, what do you mean shaking? And you're like, you just shake up your energy. And I was so, because I was so like, I did Bikram for years.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then I started teaching a sequence set for years. And so mm-hmm. I was like, you stay in your box and you stay in your rectangle. And what are you talking about? Can you explain that a little bit more?
Oh, the shaking?
Yeah.
So I learned that in Qigong, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. So we did a practice where we just shook for 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Yeah. So there, I think actually in Kundalini too, they say that if you shake for 30 minutes a day, like you'll never be sick. Like, because what it does is it helps pump your lymphatic system without you actually having to like move your, you know, like do anything else. So if you just sit there and shake, you're pumping your whole lymph system out.
Interesting.
Yeah. So you're upping your immunities. And
what are some other like things that do you do body brushing? Because I've heard that's good for your lymphatic mm-hmm. system. Do you do that too?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you do massage, right?
Mm-hmm.
What else do you do?
What else do I do for me?
Tell me all the secrets.
Besides supplements, I guess, right?
Well, I would like to hear about this also. I'm always curious what other people do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like high vitamin C, but I try to do it like a natural vitamin C. So rose hips are really good. So I drink rose hip tea or hibiscus tea every day.
Mm.
And then also there's a powder called Camu Camu. I think that's how you say it. I don't know.
How do you spell it?
C-A-M-U.
Yeah.
C-A-M-U. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I've heard of it.
But that's really high potent and vitamin C as well, and it's really easily absorbed into the body. So I do a lot of vitamin C. I also intermittently do like a lysine, which is helps immunity. So every time I'm feeling kind of like or like I had this weird upper respiratory cough for like a year,
okay,
and it just won't go away. And then when like COVID started, I was like, oh god, I gotta get rid of this.
Yeah, people are gonna give you dirty looks.
Yeah, totally. I can't go to the grocery store. I'm like,
so, well, now yeah. I have to clear my throat. I'm all worried.
So yeah, so I did the lysine, the vitamin C, up to my vitamin D to like 50,000 units or something. It was crazy. But it kicked it really fast. And then my sister, I'm going to plug her for a minute. She's at Boise Tonic Company. She makes a elderberry oxymel, which is it's like a elderberry tonic or syrup, but it's half, I believe, apple cider vinegar and half honey. And then she lets it sit for like a month or something.
Where is this? What's it called?
Her company's called Boise Tonic Company.
Is it a brick and mortar or do you have to go online?
You go online. Okay. But she also does Rico Meridian. So if you order it, you can pick it up in Meridian at the little Rico.
That's so far away.
I know. But you can pick it up at her house too. She's like a mile that way.
Okay, that's helpful. Boise Tonic Company. Yeah. I love elderberry. I love this elderberry zinc spray that I get at the co-op.
Yeah.
And so before COVID, if I wasn't feeling great and I would go to teach, and I just wanted, because I'm speaking for an hour, I would just spray it in my throat and it would just clear me up. And it has a lot of high vitamin C, I think.
I
feel like elderberry, they've done studies that say it shortens the duration of your cold.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that stuff. And I remember one time I didn't have it and I was out of town and someone got me throat spray because they knew that I love this throat spray. But it was some generic cold medicine stuff that numbs your throat and it has this weird film. And I was like, oh, I'm so glad that we have the Boise Co-op and
we
can get healthier options.
Mm-hmm. The colloidal silver spray is awesome too. Have you ever used
that? Yeah. I've even used it on my dog.
Oh, yeah.
What did I use it on him for? Like, he had like one of an injury on his paw or something. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you just need this. And he had some dental work done. I just sprayed it in his mouth.
Yeah.
I love that stuff.
It's like magic.
What is it? What else does it do? What is it known for besides cold?
Yeah, I think it's like it helps with antibacterial and antiviral. But I'm not exactly sure. I just think it's a little magic in a bottle.
Magic
they have
in
the
a bottle.
Nose spray. They have everything. I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
The gel. Maybe use the gel on like burns or scrapes.
That's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
My mom told me that cream is really good for burns. So I would put sour cream all over it, or just hit the microphone just now. Or I always burn my tongue sometimes drinking tea, and then I'll
always
just start eating sour cream and ice cream. I'm like, go away.
Does it help?
It actually does, because if you don't, then it will continue to burn for 15 more minutes.
Yeah.
And then the tip of your tongue will be numb for like a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I'll stick it on ice cream or sour cream, and that helps. Yeah.
Magic.
Magic. Okay, so you got your supplement game on point.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then you teach, what kind of classes do you teach?
Right now I only teach gentle classes. I teach one vinyasa class a week, but I teach gentle yoga in the mornings. And it's actually funny, I subbed for somebody the other night and doing like a flow class, and it was so weird. I was like, in the studio after 5 o'clock, it's weird for me because I don't teach anything at night.
Yeah.
I was like, good evening. I don't know. Have a good night. It was so strange, like moving my body after 5. I don't know. But I teach gentle class in the morning, and then I teach a class on Fridays called Stretch Out Stress. Mm. And it's kind of like yin restorative. I call it lazy ass yoga. That's my.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That sounds like my style.
It's so nice. It's kind of like, you know, rolling around on the floor without the roller, though, the foam roller. But. Could integrate that a little bit.
Great.
We roll around on tennis balls sometimes. That's really nice.
Yeah. I like that too.
Yeah.
And then you also, you do massage, right?
I'm not a massage therapist. I do body work. So I do
body
Thai.
Work. Okay.
So I do Thai body work, and I do like an integrative session with Thai compressions and Reiki.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is where I remember you from. Also, I did a sound bath at the old Zen Riot next door with Home. What's her name?
Crystallina.
Crystallina Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was only like 12 spots, and I got one of the spots.
Yeah.
But it was Crystallina Sunshine doing a sound bath.
Yeah.
And then there was Reiki being performed on people in the room. And I remember.
That's right.
And I remember like peeking my eyes open at one point because I'm feeling all this like, I don't know what I'm feeling, but I was feeling something. And there's someone just walking around with their arms open. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so cool.
We do all the woo. That's like,
I love the woo.
Yeah.
I'm so into it. And sometimes I can be kind of like a brat. I'm like, it's so woo woo and weird. But then secretly I'm like, I love it.
I know. I know. I had a client, and I do energy readings too. So we sit and we talk about energy. But I did one for somebody the other day, and she was like, I go through like the energy system and I like read what's going on through elementals. So like I call in the elements, like where's fire going in your body? And I can see like where it's going. And it was funny at the end, I was like, God, it's like, I feel something in her root. Like, and it's like, this is bullshit. Like I could feel that coming from her. And I was like, what is going on? And so then I brought her out because it's a meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I brought her out and I was like, I just felt like you were questioning the whole time. Like, this is crap. She's like, I was like saying in my mind, I don't believe any of this. This is crap.
And she was very honest with you and told
you
that.
Yeah. 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 So it's pretty
And you're
funny.
Like, great. I totally picked up on that. So what does that mean?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just funny. It's just the energy. And I'm like, can you read my mind? And I'm like, no, I cannot read your mind.
Oh, how did you get into energy work?
I think it was just this strange progression. It was like yoga and then Reiki. And then it was like, I took an energy healing class with this woman named Erin Mackley. She does readings and she does oracle and tarot readings.
Cool.
And I took a class with her, and I can't remember how many weeks it was. I want to say it was like 9 weeks. And we just sat there and we read each other's energy in this little group for 9 weeks. And it was amazing. Because you can just, like, a lot of people are empathic. Mm-hmm. So when you actually start to tap into it and be like, oh, like, are you feeling a little like anxious? I can feel that angst in your heart. And does that resonate with you? And it's like kind of like going back and forth about what you're feeling.
How do you tap in?
Mm.
What does that mean, tapping in?
I think it's just like tuning in. It's like a resonance. So I feel like it, you can think about like a radio station almost.
Okay.
And so it's like people are on different frequencies. Now I just hit the mic. Mm-hmm. People are on different frequencies. And it's like I can tune into like, I go to their frequency, I guess.
Okay.
Or it's like tuning myself into the radio, their radio station.
Does that get scary for you sometimes?
No.
I feel like I've done it on accident with people,
right.
And I'm like, I don't want to be here.
Yeah. I think it's all about intention, right?
Uh-huh.
It's like, you know, everything is like, if I'm intention, if they, it's, and it's consent as well. So it's like, they come to me and they ask me.
Please tune in to me, read me, help me.
What
are some of the benefits to having an energy reading?
I think, well, for myself, I know that it's really hard for me to sometimes understand my emotional energy and what's happening or how to balance it. Even just myself, if I tune into myself, I get like, you know, I feel like I'm in the radio station fuzzy zone.
Okay.
So I feel like it's a lot easier for people to hear it when it comes from outside of yourself.
Okay.
So when I tune into people, it's almost as if I'm like tuning into their, that highest sacred, their favorite self, right?
Right.
So it doesn't come through as anything like angry or, anger does come through, or mean, but it's just like this nice, gentle, like, this is what your energy is saying to me right now. So I feel like also it's so much easier to listen to somebody else, even if they're interpreting what you're feeling, without it being, what's the word I'm looking, like, invasive, right?
Okay, yeah.
So I'm not going to tell you how you feel, but I'll ask you how you feel and ask if it resonates with you. And then, I don't know.
I went to a psychic reading once.
Yeah.
But it was like a group reading, and it was kind of like a taste of it. It wasn't like anything serious. And there was a bunch of us in a room, and then he'd go one by one and be like, I'm reading your energy a little bit. And part of me was disappointed because I was hoping for like, I didn't really understand what I was signing up for, of getting like a little energy reading thing. I thought he was going to be like, this was who you were in a past life, and this is what you should say to your mom next week. And I see you doing this in your future, so you can know that this is real. But he was more like, okay, you've got really, really clear energy. And I was like, okay. What did he say? I was like, he stroked my ego a little bit. He said, he's like, everyone's like 3G, you're 5G.
Ooh.
And I was like, yeah, I am. That's so cool. But then it got a little weird because he's like, Hawaii would be so good for you. You should totally go to Hawaii. And I was like, really? And when I left, I realized I was wearing a Hawaiian, sweatshirt from Hawaii that said like, Hawaii, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a second, was he just feeding me stuff? But with other people, he was giving them really interesting readings because some of them had had personal sessions with him before.
Yeah.
And I was just like kind of popping in. So I was like, I didn't really know what to make of it.
Yeah. It's interesting. I actually ask no questions before because I don't want people to think it's like preconceived, right?
Right.
Like, so I just do it kind of from this like blank space, which is always nice.
I'm trying to remember who I was talking to. Maybe it was Billy Edney, because she was sitting right here
last
like a couple weeks ago. And she was saying it was either her or a friend of hers, they had a session with you, and you were saying something about like, I'm picking up something in your, it was like a medical scenario, like her lymph node or something. And then it ended up, she had an issue to work through. And Billy was like, oh my God, so blown away. And she's she's telling me the story. I can't remember the details now, but can you remember like situations like that where you've picked up on something and they've totally validated what you were picking up on?
Yeah, I think what happens, I don't know, like specific. I actually like feel like I wipe clean from each session. So it's funny when people come back to me and they'll be like, do you remember when, like, and I was like, no, I actually don't, because I like kind of clear the plate, you know?
Yes.
But what I found happens is that like I'm able to tune into things that they have hidden, right? Almost like shadow work or inner child stuff a lot.
Wow.
So, and then they feel like it feels very validating when you bring something forward that like they feel, but they can't describe. And it's like, I'm just able there to, or I'm able to put the words sometimes into what they're feeling. And it's just so relieving most of the time, because it's like, oh, somebody understands, or somebody's validated my pain, or, you know, my experience.
I feel like yoga has helped me validate my experiences a lot.
Yeah.
Teaching me to sit with the feelings that I'm feeling and not hide them or tuck them away.
Yeah.
And that's been a really interesting journey for me. And then to become a yoga teacher and hold space for other people who are having similar experiences is really, I guess, like my payday, because it's not a very lucrative career, but it's just amazing connecting with people and having these growth and healing processes that we can share with each other.
Yeah. And even though a lot of like the students don't talk to each other, right? It's this collective healing space. Mm-hmm. Everybody's holding space for each other, for whatever's happening. And, you know, and it always feels nice.
I like when I forget that other people are there, and then suddenly we'll do a posture where we have to like turn around and look at something.
Oh, yeah.
And I realize there's like 30 other people, or just even 7 other people in this room having their own experience. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm not alone. Other people are going through this weird yoga class too.
Yeah. We're all in this weird space rock together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What are some cool events coming up at your studio?
Oh man, I've had such a hard time scheduling events lately.
Okay.
My brain is like off the rails. I don't know what's going on. But let's see.
I feel like you guys always have rad stuff.
Maybe you can schedule some rad
stuff. I follow you on Instagram and Facebook. You guys had a post recently of like a new member on your team who does cool stuff. My memory is shot, by the way.
Mine too. I was like, where's my brain? I don't know. I feel like I just turned 42-ish. And
oh
I feel
gosh.
Like my brain is like, shoo, downhill. I need to take brain supplements.
I was going to say, like, don't you have a supplement for
that? I do. I do, actually. I stopped taking it, though, because I'm on this parasite cleanse right now.
What?
And so it was like, okay, I had to stop taking all of my weird supplements to do parasite cleanse. But now I feel like my brain is, like, trying to catch up to, or maybe it's ridding itself of parasites. I don't know.
What's a parasite cleanse?
Oh, man. So, I mean, I've done a lot of weird traveling in my previous job. I was in China a lot.
Okay.
And so, I don't know. I've eaten a lot of weird food. And parasite cleanse, I mean, people say you should do it like once a year.
What?
I know. I don't know. I don't know where we're getting all these parasites from.
Well, I heard that there's a lot of parasites in fish.
Yeah. But I'm doing a 30-day parasite cleanse just to rid my body of any weird foreign objects.
what's a couple of the key components of a parasite cleanse?
So
like, don't eat this, do eat this.
Yeah, so it's like an elimination of a lot of things. So no dairy, no gluten, and then no added sugar. So you can have all the fruit you want. Again, hitting the mic. All the fruit you want. I guess I really talk with my hands. And no like fake sugar, so you know any like alcohol sugars or anything like that. And it's just to like reset your gut and and then you take some herbs that kill the parasites.
What are some specific herbs?
There's three. One of them is a blend. I think it's a like some sort of bark. I can't remember what it is.
Okay.
And then there's a black cohosh, I believe. It's a tincture. And then the other one is, it's called Mimosa Paducah, I believe.
That's a great name.
Yeah. And it is there's different parts of this plant that actually, it's really strange. I was researching this very plant before I started this parasite cleanse. Because the roots are actually mildly psychoactive. And so I was like,
tell me everything.
So I was researching them about like, you know, you can make extracts or tea or something. So I ordered some root. And then the next week I signed up for this parasite cleanse. And I believe the one of the herbs is the seed of the same tree or plant.
Okay.
But it's not psychoactive, but it's okay. just to help kill any strange things in your body.
So interesting.
I know. And then you take a binder, which is, so basically it soaks up everything that you don't need and like flushes it out. It's so strange. I don't know what we do to our bodies, but hopefully if I have any weird parasites, they're going away.
Okay, great. And then you can reassess your supplement game.
Yeah, totally.
I went to my friend's salon the other day. She was having like a little open house thing, and she was going to talk about, here's my brain doing its thing now. What's the thing that people take for their joints? Or
chondroitin? No.
What's the thing that it's in your face? Collagen.
Yes, the collagen.
Oh my gosh. So they were talking about collagen, and they were talking about different types mm-hmm. of collagen, and they have like a specific marine type of collagen, which is different. And they were talking about how like if you just get like a random powder from Costco, it starts to lose its potency. And then someone else in the group who works at a medical testing place, she says that a lot of people can't even process or ingest bovine collagen. So, so it's like you might be taking it, but you might not feel anything because it might not be affecting you. So it was really interesting to talk about all this different types of collagen stuff. And so I think it's Isagenix that creates this specific collagen that they were discussing. And it's a drink, and it's in a little tiny bottle, and you take a shot of it. And the thing that sold me, and where I was like, take my money, was when they were saying that it really, you'll start to notice it in your skin, which when I take collagen and things like that, I notice it in my joints because like I'm at the computer all the time, or I'm in chaturanga all the time. And so it's really helped me. But then, but I still have like dry skin. And so they were saying that this lady was saying her husband started taking it and his cracked heels and his feet went away. And I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
Take my money. Let me try it. So I'm going to try that and we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Yeah. Let us all know.
I will let you know. Let me know how the parasite escape goes.
Well, I'm not, you know, there's people that actually like look for them, but I do not look for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I'm not there.
You're not there yet?
I'm trusting.
A part of me feels like when you get into the yoga industry and you get really into yoga, you're just going to get weirder and weirder.
Oh, yeah. I'm way weird.
Did you used to not be this weird?
I was not weird.
When did you?
Well, I was weird, but not in this way.
You're always like a creative person anyway.
Yeah. Not this weird, though.
How weird is Kundalini? Because I've only taken one class, and my friend Nick just signed up for Kundalini training with Mary Baker also, and he loves it, and he has like so many wonderful things to say about it. But I'm like, but if you're holding your breath a lot, that's going to make you feel high.
Oh yeah.
So is that
for sure?
So what's the benefit of that?
Isn't that a benefit?
I mean, there's a crazy amount of research and benefits to breath work exercises, so I'm not trying to diminish it, but a part of me, like as someone who doesn't know anything about Kundalini, and I randomly jumped into a class, I just remember holding my breath forever being like, I'm high, this is not normal.
Kundalini is interesting. So they call it a technology, right?
Ooh.
I know. Like, I want to know about this technology. So they call it a technology because it's specifically sequenced to create like the maximum benefits in the physical, energetic, mental, and emotional bodies. So there was research put into it, and it has to do with all of the meridians of the body as well. So it tapped in a little bit to Chinese medicine. Also, lymphatics is a huge part of Kundalini. So that's why if you go to a Kundalini class, like you may sit on the floor the whole time, but you're flapping your arms like a chicken for like 30 minutes.
Oh,
right?
It's hard. It's so hard.
Oh
my gosh.
Yeah. So what the premise or the purpose is to build your nervous system. So it's actually not supposed to be like that natural high that we get from yoga and moving and flowing and breathing. What it does is it's like it makes you go to that point where you're like, I hate this, and I want to just lay down and not do it anymore.
Yes.
Right? Or scream or like, no, I don't want to do it.
Yes.
And then you get to that point and you get past that point, and then they let you rest for 30 seconds and you're like, so it's like build yourself, build your nervous system, and then you rest. So it's like, you know, you're moving between parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system so that you can, I don't know.
It sounds like it'd be really healthy for somebody with anxiety, which
I think it like
I have a lot of that.
And also it would take a lot of practice to get to the point where you're not anxious moving through it. Mm-hmm. Because if you're doing that, like breath of fire for, I mean, someone with anxiety would feel like breath of fire is probably almost like having a panic attack, right? Because you're like, that breath. But once you get past the point of like, okay, I'm safe here and it's okay. And it is, again, pushing that nervous system to be like right outside your comfort zone.
Mm.
I'm safe, but this kind of sucks. And then,
because you're in control of your body the whole time.
And then you're able to rest and you're like, oh, I'm in bliss.
So interesting. Okay, I have to ask you, what have you overheard at yoga?
Oh my goodness. It's funny because you know, when you asked me to come, I was like, I probably have heard, like, over the last 10 years, I'm sure I've heard a lot.
Yeah.
But again, my brain is not working. So I decided to, like, tune in to the last, you know, few, and then remembering just silly stories. So I have this one student who, she's in her 70s and she's pretty amazing. She would come to like two classes a day. She's like,
wow.
She's a yogi.
Mm-hmm.
But she's hilarious. And the other day, I was the other morning, a new student came to class and it was a guy and he was probably in his early 40s. And he walks in and she always shows up to class like 16 minutes early. Like,
okay, not 15, 16.
Like, yeah. And she'll like lay out our mat and she puts all her stuff around, you know, then she starts her exercises. Like
she starts before it starts. I love it.
So he lays his mat out next to her and she says, "Don't watch me."
Oh.
She's like, "I'm terrible." She's been doing
it. But she's joking.
No, she's not. She's been doing it for 10 years. She's like, "I'm terrible at this. So don't watch me. If you think you're doing something wrong, I'm doing it more wrong." And she goes, "I'm always doing my right when it says left and left when it says right." And I was thinking, like, if you are aware of this.
Yeah.
If you're aware that you're doing things wrong, wouldn't you try to correct yourself if you're doing it right? But no, but it was really funny because I feel like she's actually the one who knows all this stuff. She probably knows it better than I do. She could teach the class, but she's like, "Don't look at me."
Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
That's she's funny.
The same lady.
Okay.
It was a second story. So another kind of younger, and she always introduces herself when people come in. "Hi, my name is..." So she introduced herself when this young lady came in, and then they started talking. And then every time that this lady, you know, they'd start up a little conversation, and she'd be like, "Oh, Sarah, how are you today? Blah blah blah." And then one time I heard, I was like, she called her Sarah, and I was like, "Her name's Anna." and this had been like 3 or 4 weeks that she'd been calling her Sarah. So I tried to like help her out. And so Sarah leaves and I go, "Oh, isn't Anna so nice?" She's like, "I've been calling her Sarah for a month."
Yeah.
And she was like, "Oh gosh, I have to, you know, I'll get back." And then 2 weeks later she comes in and she's like, "Hi, Sarah." So and this woman is so nice. She never corrected her that my name is Anna. So she's been Sarah for like a year.
I feel like at that point you're totally comfortable and fine being Sarah.
Totally. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I thank you so much for sharing your story. That's hilarious. I love that. I see stuff like that all the time. There's a woman who works at our studio and her name is spelled like a generic name, mm-hmm. but it's pronounced very differently.
Mm.
And so people will call her the generic pronunciation and she won't correct them. And I called her the generic name for 3 years before I heard her introduce herself to someone and pronounce it totally different. And I was like, "That's your name?" She's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "But you never corrected me." She's like, "I get it all the time." But so I have teachers who've worked for me for 5 years and they're still like, "Is it this or is it that?" They're like, "I'm not sure." I'm like, "If you think it's this, it's definitely that."
Yeah.
So Yeah, I get that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a newer teacher that she just started, and it's the same thing. There's like, her name is spelled generically, but she pronounces it differently. And I'm like, I know she's going to get this one all the time.
Yeah. I want to plug you. So what's the name of your studio again?
Yeah, so I'm at Zen Riot Yoga and Wellness, and we're up on the bench at Orchard and Franklin.
Cool. And you do virtual stuff too for our people who aren't local. Could they
tap in? Yeah, they can. So all of our classes except Kundalini, which is just too hard to teach on a computer, are live streamed. So, and we do cold yoga. So, but you can heat your living room up if you want to. And we do vinyasa, flow yoga, gentle yoga.
Awesome.
And that, and then body work for me, I'm under Sacred Element Life, so you can find me there.
Great.
For body work or energy work or readings if you're interested in.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
And then come in. And then you're gonna call me out on my bullshit reader. No. You're like, I feel like you think this is bullshit. I do, but I want to know more.
I know. Everybody thinks. I'm even skeptical. I'm always right.
I'm always in and out. I had a chakra reading once, and she got to my crown chakra, and she's like, you're super blocked in your crown chakra. And I was like, I grew up in a cult and now I don't believe anything. And I'm atheist, but I also believe in magic and I'm really into esoteric shit. And it's very confusing. She's like, I can see that. Do you want to work on that? And I'm like, yes and no.
Kind of, but I'm scared.
But yes and no. So that was really interesting. So yes. And also I'm scared, but yes, I want to do it. Awesome. I'll have all that stuff in the show notes. Jen, thank you so much for coming on my podcast.
Thank you for asking me.
Yes. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your overheard at yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste!